It doesn't take much to ruin a wedding. Often our weddings are often remembered, not for the right, but for the wrong reasons. I had a wedding at Port Lefton Church where the bride was late. It was a beautiful day, and the sun was turning the church into a furnace. And we were all waiting for the bride to appear when the best man's mobile phone went off. Yep. How long? 40 minutes. I'll tell the minister. This poor bride had laid out her dress in the spare room the night before. Her dog got in and weed on the dress. I asked the best man, "What are they doing?" And I kid you not, with a straight face, he said to me, "I think they're trying Vanish." Unfortunately, Vanish was as good as its word. My cousin Ralph was married nearly 40 years ago, and there's only one thing to remember about Ralph's wedding. I don't remember what we ate, I don't remember what we drank, but I do remember that Ralph forgot to thank his mum during the speech. And 40 years on, that's the only thing that is remembered at poor cousin Ralph's wedding. And I think this wedding that Jesus attended could have been a similar disaster. The wine was running out. Now, I've been to weddings where it was my wish that the wine did run out a lot quicker than it did, but it didn't. And maybe at their 40th wedding anniversary, this young couple could have looked back and had a laugh, remember the wine had run out. But on that day, that would have been a disaster for them. Hospitality was a sacred duty in the time of Jesus, and had the wine run out, everyone would have noticed, and more than a few would have commented. And I think the wine would have run out had Jesus not did what he did. And that's our first fill-in this morning. Jesus felt for this young couple. Simple as that. The wine was running out. He knew he could do something. He felt for this couple. So he did it. Don't know anything about this couple. Maybe they didn't have very much. But if they were like sort of countless young Jewish newlyweds, they would have been young, impressionable, sensitive. And their special day would have been turned into a disaster because it would only have been remembered. That was the wedding where the wine ran out. Jesus stopped this happening. On that day, Jesus had compassion on this young couple. And throughout his ministry, time and time again, we see him having compassion on different people at different times. Heartfelt compassion for the lonely, for the sick, for the ostracized, for the bereaved, for the outcast, for the downtrodden. Jesus just had this natural compassion, and at times he went out of his way to do something that he could do for these folk. And the Bible says we've got to be like that. We've got to have a similar compassion, even when folk get themselves into some kind of bind that we could have told them so. Sometimes it's easy to get a strange thrill when folk fall from grace. And sometimes the higher up the ladder they are, the further they fall. And the more inwards we think, serves them right. Jesus was never like that, and he says, neither should we be. The thing that gets me about this passage is, why was Jesus there in the first place? Why was Jesus at that wedding? He probably knew the couple, or his mum did, because she seems to have a prominent position in this story. Jesus wasn't there because he was a famous teacher, because he hadn't taught yet. He wasn't there because he was a great healer or a great miracle worker. He hadn't performed any healings or miracles up until now. Jesus wasn't there because he was the Messiah. They never knew that yet. Jesus was there because a young couple had sat down, knew how many guests they were going to invite to their wedding, and they said, Let's invite Jesus. I want him at my wedding. Filling number two says our faith shouldn't make us a pain in the neck to those who don't yet have faith. Jesus was so likable and he was so approachable that a young couple were happy to invite him to their wedding. Are you like that? Does the way you live out your faith warm people to you? Or do you give them the cold shoulder? Is their reaction, if you're inviting them to the wedding is off. Some of us might be like that. Jesus was the Holy One, never holier than thou. Jesus was the one who knew all, but he was never a religious know-all. And Jesus the Almighty was never high and mighty when it came to dealing with people. And he says his people should be the same. Jesus went to this party probably because he enjoyed parties. And they enjoyed having him there. So one thing this story reminds us is we can still have fun and be a Christian. Jesus did. And although it doesn't quite say it in the scriptures, I can just see Jesus at the end of the night doing the Eitzim reel for the last dance. You know, rather than being one of these folk who are sitting at the wall with a like this, I wish I was home. I don't see Jesus standing at the back of the room. Oh, man. Time to go home yet? Too many Christians mix with non-church people showing long faces. And if they find themselves in the company of folk who are not churched, and they're having a good time, so often they think what they're doing is either illegal, immoral, or fattening. And we down it without even thinking. Not so with Jesus. So on the one level, this is quite a simple story. Quite a simple story. Jesus says to us, help out when you can. He could turn water into wine. He helped out. You as his disciples, we've got to help when we can. Second thing is, we don't have to be a killjoy to be a Christian. And I think we can get both these from that story. But I don't think either of these reasons was the main reason that John put this story specifically in his gospel. Have you ever thought on how much wine Jesus made at that wedding? That's always intrigued me. So I did the maths. 6 jars were filled with water. Each jar was about 100 litres. 6 times 100 is 600 litre bottles of wine. 8 glasses of wine per litre gives us 4,800 glasses. A lot of wine. You know? 48 people at the wedding, 1,000 glasses, or 100 glasses each. And it wasn't any old stuff. You know, it wasn't this 3 for £10 at Morrison's. It was wine of the best quality. Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests has had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. So we've got the huge amount of wine, and there weren't any kind of jars that they filled. If you read the story again, you see it's the ceremonial washing jars that the Jews would use so they could wash their hands before they would eat. And I think right at the start of his ministry, Jesus was doing more than just saving the day for a young couple at his reception. Number three, fill in, it's a big one. When Jesus comes to you, he can take the water of your religious practices and turn them into the new wine of the kingdom of God. At the start of his ministry, Jesus is saying, the time of new wine has come. The joy of the kingdom of God is here, and there's enough to go round. 4,800 glasses of the best wine is more than enough to fill even the most stubborn of people's hearts. And if not, they're that drunk, they don't care. God's grace will never run out. You believe that? three, four, good, still there. God's grace will never run out. I think that's why we've got all this wine. He's got wine in abundance. The sin is not for you to drink, it's for you to see. God's grace will never run out. God's love will never run out. 4,800 glasses of his love. Drink some of that for yourself. God's forgiveness will never run out. 4,800 sins you can have in a day. And the blessing of God will never run out. God's joy will never run out. Because God is a God of abundance. We've got to see that. Did I give you number four? No. Jesus is a Savior with abundance. It's all about abundance. When you embrace the kingdom that Jesus is pointing towards, never think that the wine of God's goodness is going to run out. Sometimes we think that. I'm not going to go to God for forgiveness because I've been there four times today. He's maybe not got a fifth. He knows what the rest of the folk are like in the church. He's got an awful lot of forgiving for them. Maybe he's going to run out when it comes to me. God's forgiveness will never run out. The Jesus who produced wine in abundance is the same Jesus who fed 5,000 people and had plenty left over, who's the same Jesus who says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty." It's not going to happen. You start getting the wine of the kingdom, you start getting the bread of life, it's not going to run out. It's going to satisfy that hole that you've got away down there. And he really says this morning, whatever you're trying to pour into that hole is not going to work. Drink wine, Jesus' wine, and that'll fill it. Eat bread, the bread of life, and that's going to fill it. And for centuries since Jesus has been here, folk have been trying to fill that hole with something else. And we're getting great at doing it now because we've got more things we can do it with. Folk will do it with the internet. Folk will do it with video games. Folk will do it with going out. Folk will do it with drink. Folk will do it with drugs. Folk will do it just being busy. Just get busy so I don't have to think about the hole I've got in my soul. And the message today is the same as the message it was thousands of years ago. The only thing that's going to satisfy you is this wine that Jesus gave. The wine of the kingdom. The bread of heaven. And that's going to fill you. And you're going to be satisfied. As the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." That's a hard verse. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And sometimes we don't think it. God can't meet my needs. I've got to keep a wee stash for myself. And I'm not going to fully commit to this in case it doesn't work. I know Jesus wants my life. He can have half of it. Because I've heard the folk who've committed before and they just got let down. Never by God. Never by Jesus. Often by the church. This verse says that my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That's what he's going to do. The guy who brings the wine will also bring that glory. And it's no coincidence that in the next chapter, the story we'll meet, I don't think it's next week, it might be the week after, is Jesus illustrates what this miracle means when he meets Nicodemus, the Jewish religious leader. And he really says, "Nicodemus, the religion you've got at present is not enough." Imagine saying that to a religious leader. Imagine saying that to your minister, "The religion you've got is just not enough." I know one or two ministers I wouldn't mind saying that to. But he comes to Nicodemus, a bright guy, and he says, "You've got it wrong. You've got the wrong stuff. You've got the religion of the water jars." He says, "Keep washing your hands before a meal. Keep bathing. Keep doing all this kind of stuff. Clean the outside. Because inside you're filthy." I would love to say the things Jesus said. You know, he talks to the Jewish leaders. He tells them, "Your inside is like rotting bones." Can you imagine that? "Let's nip over to the cemetery and I'll show you what you're like." Ellen Tina would have a lot to answer for at Presbytery if I kept coming out with stuff like that. What is he on? Rotting bones, he says, you're like. Because Jesus says, you've got it wrong. You need to be changed. And he says, this great change is as dramatic as changing water into wine. And it's change that he calls being born again. And we'll look at that, I think, in a couple of weeks. One wee bit I want to just finish with, because we've got to get this bit right as we're walking through John's Gospel, because it's one of the peculiar things that John's Gospel has. The next verse says, when Jesus did what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. John in his Gospel is giving us signs all the way along. All the way along, as he tells the story about Jesus. And for John, and this is number five, a sign is in John's Gospel always points to a reality greater than itself. Put that one down, I'll tell you what it means. A sign always points to a reality greater than itself. What do I mean? John puts these signs in his Gospel saying, yes, they happened. I was there. He turned the water into wine. But it's pointing to something else. Jesus' mission was not to put the off-license out of business. That's not what he was thinking. I'm going to produce all this wine so they can't. Jesus, really, his primary thing wasn't to save the embarrassment of this young couple, although he did. He says, this is the first sign, and it's pointing to something beyond what you first see. And as we go through John's Gospel, we'll see all these signs, and I'll tick them off, and you'll tick them off. And remember, you were going to tell your friends about all the signs. That's the first one. What did Jesus do? He turned water into wine. Oh, that would be great. You tell any of your friends the story of Jesus turning water into wine, the first thing they said, I'd love to go out with Jesus. Fight him to my... Oh, can you imagine what happened? No paying for it. 4,800 glasses of wine. What a night we would have. And you've got to say, yeah, it'd be great. Don't dare say, how shocking. You know, yeah, it'd be fantastic. The best wine you can drink what you want. But I don't think that's what the real meaning of the story is, you then say. You say, this is pointed to something greater. And you can ask him, are you enjoying the wine of the new kingdom? Or are you stuck with the water jars of religion? And then you ask them, do you have religion? Because you've got to get this. All religions without Jesus profit you nothing. We've got to see that. Folk are into religion today in a big way. You can speak to someone for 20 minutes and you think you're talking about the same God till their God is a crystal under the bed. All religions that do not have Jesus at their center will profit you nothing. And what is even worse, you can practice Christianity without Jesus. It sounds impossible. Folk do it in churches all the time. And you want to know, if you're practicing Christianity without Jesus, your soul is just empty and you really feel guilty. And there are times you ask yourself, I don't know why I'm here. Because he keeps bringing in cakes and he keeps talking about the joy of the kingdom and the kids keep saying, I want to go to heaven. Sunday school, what are they on? They're on Jesus. That's what they're on. Religion apart from Jesus is a cold and a lifeless thing. That's what we've got to do. Christianity is not a religion. Never call it a religion. What it is, it's a relationship with Jesus. That's the difference. Because Christianity, apart from Jesus, is just the same as any other religion. And it's going to take you nowhere. And this wine sign asks us one thing this morning. It's not about a wedding. It's not about folk getting drunk. It asks us, what have you got? Is it water of religion or the wine of the new kingdom? And you'll know in here. You'll know in here. Because if you're not satisfied with the religion you've got, throw it away. And you've got to say to Jesus this morning, I want this wine of the new kingdom. I want this abundance life you're talking about. I want to know the bread of life. I want it in here. Because I come along here every week and I'm playing a charade. Because only Jesus and the wine of his kingdom can bring us the kingdom that our hearts yearn for. I think God has made us so that we want to be filled with this wine. We want to be filled with this bread of life. And there's only one way to do it. And that's to get Jesus inside us by his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God, Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank you for this simple story. I love it when Jesus sort of stepped in and saved that wedding from disaster. And I hope this couple just told all their friends for years to come, this man saved our wedding. That he saved our marriage. And we love him for that. But we don't want to stop there. Because we see the sign that John is giving us, and he says, it's not about weddings. It's about the new wine of the kingdom of God. It's about God who has wine in abundance for everyone who just says to Jesus, Jesus, take me now. Jesus, fill me with this wine. Jesus, fill me with the bread of life. Jesus, satisfy that hole that's in there. Because the great thing is, when we do that in the presence of Jesus, and we can do it just now, he will satisfy the deepest need. He'll bring that peace that's beyond understanding. And then we'll get it about the cupcakes, about the wine, about the celebration, about the joy. Because that's not religion. That's a relationship with Jesus. So Heavenly Father, for anybody this morning who wants to just pray and say, Jesus, give me that wine, give me that bread, you will hear them now. And just say that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.